What is your God's name? Part 76. I'm Professor Hannes Redingheids of the First Assembly of Yahushua in South Africa, Pretoria, Montana, also international. Should you require any of my books which I have written, maybe the book What is Your God's Name, which is the study, the handbook for the study. It's a A5 book, nearly 500 pages thick, with all the relevant information. Even if you feel after the study you don't need it anymore, you can sow it into somebody else's life. You can contact me at my WhatsApp number, it's +27 international code for South Africa, and my number is 0722 367 124. Go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za. If this is the first time that you are about to participate in the study, please go to part 1, start from the beginning, because you missed out on quite a bit of information. It's very important to subscribe to the channel in order to receive the different notifications of all the studies that we are currently busy with. Please send this link to your friends and family. Make sure at least have a 1611 King James Bible, pen and notepad ready. It's very important to know that we do not associate ourselves with any church denomination or organization in the world. We are only an end-time Bible study group. We will now continue where we left off last week. Now, the question is, and this is a subject that seldom than ever I preach or teach about. People just believe certain things. Why? Because that's the way it was taught in their church denominations. How did the Trinity come to existence? How did the Trinity come into existence? In this study, we'll have to examine many different scriptures and theological viewpoints in order for us to come to one of the greatest revelations in the Bible. Again, we have to make a good use of our history books, as each plays a major role in discovering this revelation truth. It's not just a normal truth, it's a revelation truth. The purpose of this book is to understand what the scripture says in Ephesians 6 verse 12. Ephesians 6 verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is Satan with a small s and his fallen angels. We don't fear. Why? Because Yahushua has overcome death and Hades and the grave, and he's resurrected. We, as part of the Bride of Yahushua, even this 21st century, in 2026 and beyond, wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities that we cannot see. It's not somewhere up in the sky, my soul's dimension. That's why the Bible says our bodies is the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh. Why? Because this is the battlefield. But against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places, we fear not. We must take note of the wording in the last four pointers, which I've just said. One, we as part of the Bride of Yahushua, even in the 21st century today and beyond, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not where we are in the arm wrestling with another person. It's against principalities we cannot see. But I just want to say, but that makes us not to fear. But it's against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Did Yahushua overpower the darkness? Oh yes, he did. Because he's the light. Against spiritual wickedness in high place. I don't care how high he is. He's a demon. And the Bible said, Yahushua says to us, you have the right to lay your hands upon the sick and they shall be healed. and to cast out demons. Chase them, rebuke them in the name of Yahushua, and they will flee. We must take note of the wording of the last four pointers. Each one of them has a specific meaning. They are not just all the same, and neither do they convey the same idea. This specific scripture draws our attention to the fact that we wrestle not against blood, flesh and blood. And this is why it's important that we should hold on to Yahushua. This specific chapter of the is not against flesh and blood or any church denomination, but against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We, as part of the bride of Yahushua, do not need to fear. Why? We don't need to fear the principalities of darkness who lives in high places. We, as part of the bride of Yahushua, who are Yahvist with a V. What does he say? We walk in the authority of Yahushua, hallelujah, and the redemption of his blood, the redemption power of his blood. For this reason, I will publicly and without any fear uncover a church view which has inspired by Satan himself, using the Roman Catholic Church, many corrupted Bible translations in many Protestant churches, even the 21st century and beyond, to help create this theology and to make it stand. The heading, the word Trinity. According to the ancient Hebrew text and scrolls, the word Trinity never exists. We're talking about the ancient Hebrew text. Listen. The word Trinity, which means three different gods, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, never ever existed. It was more than 2,000 years before the Roman Catholic Church. Hallelujah. He says here, it was more than 2,000 years before the Roman Catholic Church in 327 AY created the church dogma of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You don't find a Hebrew person, Orthodox Hebrew person, who does believe in a Trinity God. Actually, they mock. They say it's one body then, with three different Godheads: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It was created by the Roman Catholic Church. Constantine, Emperor Constantine, at the Council of Nicaea, 327, 325 to 327, is where they created it. This impact of this, the Roman Catholic dogma, was so massive and forceful that today in 2026, 95% of all Christian churches in the world believe in the Trinity of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then Angus Buchan says, and we believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ has ascended into hell. He was never in hell. He was in Hades. If he was in hell, he would have had burn marks. In the course of the study, we'll have to make certain decisions to find out who is wrong and who is right between our Protestant Bibles and most of our Protestant churches in this 21st century. While being busy with this part of our study, I will possibly make use of many theological resources for references which is available. But I prefer to make use of one of the most respected resources in the world, known as the Reader's Digest. Since I was a small boy, the book, the Reader's Digest, exists. So in order to be able to discuss the source of the creation of the Trinity in our Bible, we need to examine some history and world events first, so that we can be able to come to the knowledge of the revelation of how the Trinity was created. Now, I have one of the Reader's Digests, or the set, And one of them says 600 years after Yahushua. The history from where he was born up to 600 years later, it's got all the main events in it. It's worth gold. For the benefit of the study, I will first show the name of God, Jesus, etc. As shown in the research, I will show the ancient Hebrew's name of Yahweh El Elum, Yahushua, and also the Ruach HaKodesh. So I will speak about Yahushua, and I will say Jesus Christ. Or I will say the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, in brackets. The Edict of the Toleration of the Christians. After many centuries of persecution of the Christian church. Now, what I don't, they say, in the Roman Empire. No, it doesn't make sense. The Christian church, there was never a word like Christian in the time of Yahushua or Jesus Christ. They were referred to as Yahvist, which means followers of Yahushua. And then in 327, at the Council of Nicaea, Constantine the Emperor and also the first Roman Catholic Pope created the name Christian Church. Christian, relating to a follower of Jesus, as they called him, and Christian Church, which reflects or refers to the church or congregation of Jesus or Yahushua. So, first of all, the name church never exists in the time of Yahushua. The name church only became known when the Roman Empire created the name Roman Catholic Church, the opposition organization, spiritual organization, opposition for the power and for the gospel of Yahushua, which they call the Roman Catholic Church. Roman Empire, Catholic means united, and Church means universal. So universally she's the mother of all churches. Revelation 17 verse 1. You can go and read it. After many centuries of persecutions of the Christian church. No, the Christian church wasn't persecuted. The bride of Yahushua, the Yahvist, the congregation of Yahushua, were persecuted by the Roman Catholic Church and the Roman Empire. Why? Because they were in cahoots. The Roman Empire created the Roman Catholic Church. It's one organization. The one is a killer and the other one is a spiritual organization. So who killed the bride of Yahushua, the Yahvist? The Roman Catholics did. They killed more than 150 million Yahvist and Hebrew people because of their revelation names. As from 34 AY up to 1530 AY, when Protestantism was born, which was created by the Roman Catholic Church. Just another arm. Protestantism, just another arm of Catholicism. Many centuries of persecutions. Now I'm going to read as it states in the what do we call it, in the handbook that we are about to use. The Reader's Digest states the following. After many centuries of persecution of the Christian church in the Roman Empire, now we know the difference, right? The Edict of Tolerance was proclaimed in 311 AY by Emperor Galerius. This edict granted henceforth the Christians, the New Testament Assembly of Yahushua, should exist and restore their assemblies, their place of worship, provided that they do nothing against the good order of the Roman Catholic Church. In return, Emperor Claudius hoped that the New Testament Assembly of Yahushua would be bound to entreat their God for well-being. At least there was peace, and all Christian prisoners were freed from jails. The prosecution closed with yet another request for Christians prayers for the emperor, that the Christians must pray for the emperor. Emperor Claudius died within a week after issuing the decree. With the death, the emperor could now go to the man. Who claimed it first. The position of the emperor. The race to become the new emperor. This is fantastic information. This is what is eschatology. The past, the present, and the future. Constantine was the north warrant against the Franks. Maximinus, the son of Martinius, took control of Italy. While Maximinus Dia raced to the prize territory, Asia Minor, and claimed its capital, Nisidia. This outstanding looseness, outstanding looseness, who subsequently teamed up with Constantine. By 312 AY, the Roman emperor was poisoned, but posed on the brink of civil war. The two great hallmarks of Emperor Diocletian's reign, the treacherousness of the persecution, has failed. Four men were now fighting to rule the Roman Empire to better their individual chances. Maximinus, Dia, and Maxentius conspired against Constantine and Licinius. So there were six people in there, actually. In this sign we conquer. Anticipating his arrival, Constantine crossed the Alps in 312 AY and speed his troops towards Rome with such discipline, rigor, that one historian compared his advance with Julius Caesar's momentous march after crossing the Rubicon River. Heavenly outnumber the force of Constantine's charged the imperial army of Matthias on 28 October 312 AY. At Sexa Ruma, the Red Cross, Red Rocks, a site came 9 miles north of Rome. Maxentius were forced to fight with his back to the river, to the Tiber River, where the only retreat possible was over another Melvian bridge. Before committing himself to battle, Maxentius consulted the sibling books, oral texts that tend to predict the future. The entry of October 28 reads, "On this day, the enemy of Rome shall perish." Maxentius declared this is a good omen and prepared to fight. Certain that the gods, their gods, were granting him victory. As Constantine made ready for battle, according to the various reports, he had a dream. Now this cannot be confirmed. He had a dream, or possibly a vision, in which he saw an unusual sign in heaven and heard the Greek words. Now listen to this. En tauti nika. En tauti nika. In this sign, conquer. He saw what? He saw the Greek names. En tauti nika. In this sign, conquer. The sign incorporated the first two letters of the name Christian Greek. Two letters. C-C-H-I, which is the X, and Rio, R-H-O, which is a capital P, a capital X and a capital P next to each other. On the eve of the battle, Constantine made new imperial standard or liberiums bearing the sign of the P fixed in the center of the X. He made himself a sign. The P and the X. And order his men to emblem the same symbol on their shields with a fight. Constantine carried the new standard during the fight and he was victorious. The standard is the flag. He made a flag with an X and a P. Constantine's men routed Mactria's armies, forced them to retreat across the Malvern Bridge into Rome. Thousands of the soldiers, including Mactrius himself, perished in the waters of the Tiber River. We will never realize what lie was this that was created by the Roman Catholic Church in order for Constantine to see the X and the P. The victory speech would change Christianity forever. Whose Christianity? The Roman Catholic Church. Constantine's victory over Mactrius changed the course of history forever. While Christianity was still a momentary religion, it had symbolically triumphed over paganism. So what happened? Because Constantine was a Catholic, and now he believes that God, like they called him, has given him the vision, he suddenly became a full-blooded Christian, follower of the Roman Catholic faith. And the fact that he had the X and the P, he believed, led him triumphant over paganism. It must be understood when referring to the Roman Catholic Church in the research documents, it does not mean the bride of Yahushua, which is actually referring to the Roman Catholic Church. Now this, by this time you should know that. When it speaks about the Roman Catholic Church, it speaks about the Catholic faith. When it speaks about Christianity, it refers to Roman Catholic faith. It does not refer to the bride of Yahushua or the youngest. Properties were confiscated from churches during the persecution. It was ordered to be returned to them. That was to the bride of Yahushua. When Maximus died later that year, Constantine consolidated the peace with Licinius. Now Augustus in the east by giving him Constantine's half-sisters a marriage. One of the first actions of the new master of the west was to join Licinius in issuing the Edict of Milan in 313 A.Y., which not only confirmed the religious tolerance of Christians announced by Galerius, but also, that was Emperor Galerius, but also extended it to include adherent of all faiths, a new area of Western civilization was dawning. Constantine marched into Rome on 9 October 312 AY. This is information which is so critical, and this is also part of the information of my doctoral degree. After the victory of the Malvern Bridge, Constantine marched triumphantly into Rome on October 29, 312 AY. They say the procession most likely walked through the city, giving crowds a chance to catch a rare glimpse of the new ruler. One source says that his nickname among the peoples was Boomneck. Surviving likeness confirmed this. He was built like a wrestler, this Constantine. As in other official procession, Constantine would have been flagged by a guard of honor. A gilt or silver armed and accompanied by silk banners that floated balloons like in an omnium air. That day, after passing through the Porta Triumphalis, along the Via Sacra into the Forum Romanum, Constantine met with the central the Senate of the Rome, which confirmed him. What did the Senate did? They confirmed him in the ranks of Augustus, or senior emperor. The sun god of Sol Invictus, the unconquered sun. Now I'm going to continue with this, and if time catches up with us, we're going to stop at a certain point and continue next week. Although Emperor Constantine had acknowledged God's help in the battle against Mazateres, and apparently at first he had no exclusive commitment to Christianity. He seems to pick and choose from Christianity and pagan beliefs what he likes. While he had no doubts approved that when the Senate commissioned a statue of him, he also authorized a medallion that attributes his liberation of Rome to the sun god Sol Invictus, unconquered sun, and retained the title Pontifex Maximus, or high priest of the state religion. With other words, he was emperor of the Roman Empire, and he was the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. Every Roman Catholic Pope from Emperor Constantine adopted the very same title of Pontifex Maximus, head of the state and head of the Roman Catholic Church. Up till today in 2026, that is the title of the White Pope. Why was Emperor Constantine champion over Christianity? The vision he claimed to have had before the Battle of the Melvin Bridge possibly made an impression that deepened with the telling, but perhaps his mother Helena, a Roman Catholic Christian converted, has influenced him. It was even more likely that Constantine looked on the Roman Catholic Christianity for the standpoint of the paganisms. He had seen the New Testament bride of Yahushua. Christianity, if he defied the odds and survived majority persecutions in his lifetime. No, it wasn't the Christianity that survived. It was the bride of Yahushua and the Hebrew people. Through they, the bride of Yahushua, were numerically weak minority. The Roman Catholic Church Christians, on the other hand, had evolved into a strong faction throughout Roman Empire. Emperor Constantine most likely preserved that the Roman Catholic Church's extensive network would provide an invaluable aid to unifying the subsequent ruler-flecked empire. In other words, he had the idea by uniting Christianity with the Christianity, the Roman Catholic Church, with the Yahvist teachings and preachings, he would unite them as a unit. But the bride of Yahushua would not bow before the pagan gods. Even the statue of Semiramis, the Queen of Heaven, Nimrod, the sun god, which was supposed to be Mother Mary and little Jesus, which was in all the temples, in all the Roman Catholic temples, which stood there. Even today, in some Protestant churches, you will find the statue of Mother Mary holding little Jesus. No, it's this Queen of Heaven and Nimrod, the sun god. In the next part of our study, we shall find how the Roman Emperor State Church, the Roman Catholic Church, would embrace Emperor Constantine. They would, when he will announce the Edict of Milan. It's so important that we as the bride of Yahushua must understand the history. We can't come to understand how the Trinity originate if we don't have this background of how did Constantine became the emperor of Rome and also the first pope of the Roman Catholic Church and 313 AY after Yahushua. Although the Roman Catholic Church was born in 34 AY, being a state church, and up till today in 2026, it is still a state church ruling over the world or all other religions. Revelation 17 verse 1 talks about the Babylonian or mother sitting on the waters. Looking at Revelation 17 verse 15, you will see that he says, the waters that you've seen where the whore sat on is nation, creeds and tongues. Now that happened from 34 AY after Yahushua up till today, 2026. And so time has caught up with us. If his father's will, next week we're going to start with the Edict of Milan. Do not miss it. Share these videos with others. Preach the gospel, live the gospel, be the gospel, because we are full-blooded Yahvist. Till next week, Maranatha. Yahushua is coming back again. Hallelujah.